You're listening to the Mortgage Mag podcast on RTRFM 92.1.
Good morning, Aloha. Yuckeyes, this is Jim on Mortgage Mag 92.1. Welcome, listeners, to another show. We're black and back, back and black, I should say. And today, talking about yokai. Yokai healing our spirit for West Australian Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation. And I'll have some guests in today, including Lorraine Woods, Laura Elkin, and Brian Counsellor, who'll be talking about their roles with the West Australian Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation, what yokai means to them, and just letting our audience know what it's all about in healing our spirit. So stay tuned to 92.1. Mortgage Mag, a show that just comes to you weekly and also goes on to Noongar Radio. Nick Abraham can't be here today. He's running a workshop, so Jimbo's solo on 92.1. And yes, we've got some news to tell you, people, on listeners to RTRFM and Noongar Radio. But more importantly, I want to introduce you to my guest today. Perhaps you haven't heard my role because I'm here as a volunteer one or 2 hours a week, but my day job is Managing Director of the West Australian Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation. And we obviously, with that name, we advocate for Stolen Generation peoples in Western Australia. We have 400 members to date, but potentially we advocate and support just about half the population. Recent data suggests that 46% of the Aboriginal population in Western Australia are either Stolen Generation and or their descendants. And I have three Stolen Generations people in the studio today. And they're going to be talking about themselves, introducing themselves. And I'll start off first with Laura Elkin, who's our longest term employee and been with us for quite some time. But also, Laura's been on the board of Bringing Them Home and the West Australian Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation. So welcome to the studio, Laura.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Good to have you in the studio, and a bit of a challenge for the staff here of the West Australian Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation, because Brian just starts work today, and here Brian Counsellor is going to be put in front of the microphone shortly, which is a bit of a unusual thing for employees, a little bit off-putting, I would suggest, but I've been around this radio business for a while now, so I take it in my stride. So, Laura.
Hi.
Laura Elkin, welcome again, and where's your country? Where are you from?
Good question. I could tell you where I grew up, but where I grew up's not where my family are from, because I'm second generation sort of separated. So we say Koori country, which is kind of easy because it does cover most of the areas that we were, you know, born and taken away. But some of our origins were a little unclear whether they're from Victoria or even Tasmania. But we've been in New South Wales for a few generations. So yeah.
Wow. And some good news in Victoria, which we'll come back to a little later. So, yeah, that's an example of Stolen Generation person or descendant. I'll go to Lorraine Woods now. Welcome, Lorraine, to the studio. Good to have you on the show.
And it's good to be here, Jim.
Tell us about your country and where you come from.
I was born in Magumba Mission. I'm a Bibla Manure. I was brought up around Karakut area. Lived and worked most of my life down here in the southwest, as well as with the Mirong Gajawong people and the Walpri mob up in the territory. So it's good to be here, and it's such a privilege to be able to work with Yochai on healing our spirit.
Good. Good to have you on the show, Lorraine. And Brian, welcome to the show, Brian Counsellor.
Thanks, Jim, and welcome everybody or the viewers.
Where are you from? Where are your country?
So I'm Yamaji, so my mother's people are Nagaja Warangari, so that's out in Chapman Valley, a little drive out of Geraldton. And my dad's people are Amangu, which are the coastal people. So, yeah, I've been down here for roughly about 15, 20 years, but I was placed in a mission in Carnarvon, so Ingata Mission. Many people may be aware of it, but yeah, it's just on the other side of Carnarvon, so kept us out of town. But I was 5 years old. That was about 42 years ago. And, you know, since then, obviously, I had to, you know, struggle at times because culture was one of the most important things to me as a person. But unfortunately, a lot of them things were taken away. So, you know, I couldn't carry out cultural practices, but also, you know, connection with the elders, the kinship structures, all the supports that Aboriginal culture provides. So, yeah, that was a bit of a, bit of a traumatic time in my life. But as time went on, you know, luckily I met some Noongar elders, which actually gave me a bit of guidance. And then along with my Yamaji elders back home, yeah, sort of guided me in the right direction. So I became a health worker, and here I am nearly 28 years later still working in health.
Wow. Doesn't need much of a lead in there to talk to this man, Brian Counsellor there.
Hey, look
welcome to the show again, and we'll come back to you a little later. And you don't look a day over 30, brother.
Thank you. I'll take that any time.
So Brian Counsellor, Laura Elkin and Lorraine Woods are on the show today, our guests, and we'll be talking more about Yokai Healing Our Spirit, the work they are looking forward to do. Brian has just started work today, Lorraine last week. Laura's been around a long time, but stay tuned to RTRFM Mordich Mag for some Healing Our Spirit coming up after this song.
You're listening to the Mordich Mag podcast on RTRFM 92.1.
In the ABC News yesterday, Stolen Generations Redress Scheme announced in Victoria. And Mick, Eva Joe and Kutchie Edwards welcomed the redress scheme. Just over 50 years ago, Kutchie Edwards and his siblings were taken away from their parents on Balranald. Balranald Mission. I can't even say that properly. In New South Wales, well, I don't think anyone could. It's a new word. Imagine if it was done to your child, Mr. Edwards said, standing side by side with his brother Mick and sister Eva Joe. He described the pain they still live with half a century on. You could cut my legs off today and I couldn't give a damn, he says, but I've lived with the trauma of being denied my rightful journey in life, the singer-songwriter said. And we'll play a song of his shortly, a rendition of Mother and Child Reunion by Simon and Garfunkel. After years of lobbying from the state's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, the Victorian government yesterday, announced a $10 million redress scheme for Stolen Generation survivors, describing the forced removal of children as genocide. The Victorian scheme will try to address the trauma and suffering caused by the forced removal of Aboriginal children from their families, the government said. It will include a range of redress options such as payments, counselling and a funeral fund. About 1,200 Victorians are expected to be eligible for the scheme, which will be expanded if needed. Redress scheme welcome, but ain't going to close the gap of life. Mr. Edwards welcomed the announcement and the involvement of First Nations people in developing the scheme. We want to sit down at the table, not be told what's good for us, he said. His brother Mick Edwards also said living with the trauma was still hard. It's been a long time for today to occur and I welcome it, but it ain't going to close the gap of life, he said. Eva Jo Edwards said the announcement was important after Stolen Generation survivors have been denied so much. Oh, it all rings so true, doesn't it? The redress scheme, we've talked about it a number of times on this program. And our workers here, Brian, Laura and Lorraine, they've all been involved in discussions around redress. How does this strike you, Laura? How does the situation in Victoria, how does it strike you?
I mean, I think it's positive to hear. I guess I'm not sure who definitely gets included in their criteria because that's my concern from some of the parts of the country that have had other schemes. But, you know, it's 23 years after the Bring Them Home report was tabled and recommended this, and it's hard to believe in WA that our government's still not actually even having a conversation about this. So they're definitely ahead of where we actually are.
It's a long time coming, and I heard this last night. I wept. I honestly wept because I was so distraught about those people that have gone on before us. Premier Daniel Andrews said too many people had died without proper acknowledgement of support. Well, that's true. For too long, we have not made good of the apology we provided many years ago and the nation provided more recently, he said. But he added it's never too late to do the right thing. It's never too late for the Victorian government. When is the West Australian government going to take heed? What do you think, Lorraine?
Yes, the West Australian government needs to really take heed of and follow the lead that other state and territories are doing to help address what the Stolen Generations are about and to give them something to enjoy, not just continually wait until each of our members sadly passes on. I mean, you know, it's sad that all this is happening and we're losing so many of our people. And especially now that this new disease has come up, I mean, just looking at what the swine flu was in 2009, I mean, so many of our people died through that just because of lack of understanding what it was about. Mm-hmm. If you've got any concern, you need to ring the hotline. And that number is 1-800-020-080. If you have got any concerns at all, if you're not well, don't go out. You got a runny nose, wipe it and wash your hands. Don't just put your hands under the water. Get soap and really thoroughly wash your hands. Sing happy birthday to yourself. Make sure that soap goes all over your hands and thoroughly dry them. Teach your kids the same thing. We need to stop the spread of this, and this is going to help our people and our...
Okay.
Especially our Stodol generation.
Getting carried away, is this? Okay, we're talking redress here now. We're talking about redress.
It is talking about redress as well.
So it's important that we understand this, because we've been talking about redress, and I reckon the Victorians have got it wrong. It shouldn't be called redress, because redress refers to the Royal Commission, but that's another story. And we've been talking about that too. Redress came later. Redress issues were around the rapes of our children, the sexual abuse of our children, and that we've talked about that quite extensively over the last little while. Brian, your thoughts about the Victorian scheme and what we should do in WA?
I definitely agree with Laura and also Lorraine. I think it's great, you know, that the opportunity has been provided by some state government, but I think as a national approach, this should be across the board. Aboriginal people, in particular people that have been taken off their families and placed in institutions, missions and reserves, they've never really been given proper support, you know, and if you don't have services available for our people, especially specialised services that actually can work with people that are highly traumatised and been through a lot of these issues that they've faced over their lifetime, then how do they ever really move forward in their life? And unfortunately, as we see today, you know, whether it's taxpayers' money or whatever, the fact is there's not enough commitment to our people. So as for the redress scheme, I think WA, we're way behind the eight ball. I think, you know, we shouldn't be waiting around for people to get sicker, especially now with obviously the coronavirus that's, you know, on our doorstep at the moment. So I think, you know, it's really a concern for our people. But when it comes to redressing, I think, you know, it needs to be a national approach. Hopefully the federal government, you know, would actually take more ownership and make sure that it's across the board. But I think for myself personally, you know, not having that support or actually being acknowledged by our state government, to see what other states are doing is actually great. But it also traumatises me because I can see what others are getting and we're getting nothing. So once again, it's also creating a division within the community. So I think, you know, if there's really true commitment to our people and our cause, you know, governments need to put these things in process in place. But you can actually see with the coronavirus now, things are starting to step forward. They're actually putting, you know, policies in place and procedures. And I think the same thing with our people. We're still waiting around for, you know, basic standard of care and support that most people in the community expect. And I think them standards need to change. And if people did actually or were made aware of some of the trauma that's actually happened in our communities throughout history, things will change. So, yeah.
Good. We're going to come back and talk about... this a little more, but it's an interesting comment made in the news. Victoria is the only state without a redress scheme for the Stolen Generation. Well, that's news to me, because there hasn't been a redress or compensation scheme for Aboriginal people or Stolen Generation people in this state. So we might talk more about that, because it looks like it could lead to some confusion.
You're listening to the Mortich Mag podcast on RTRFM 92.1.
Congratulations to the Victorian Couriers in their winning, if you like. If you call it winning, I don't think it's a big win, but it's a start. $10 million for advocacy, counselling, and even funeral support, something that is echoed by our own people here in Western Australia. But let's talk a little about Stolen Generation and what it means to us. I mean, I have my own views, but Stolen Generation people's in the studio with me. Starting with you, Brian, what are your thoughts on what is a Stolen Generation person?
Well, I think that's a thing of definition. I was placed in a mission in 1977, so I was only five, so 42 years ago. I'd also like to mention that my kids are the first kids within our immediate family that haven't been placed in a mission. So I think that's something to highlight as well, just to put in perspective. But it obviously means different things to different people. So growing up, being 5 years old and then, you know, coming out of the mission and being put into state ward and foster care, you know, that was hard. But it also took away a bit of identity, and, you know, that's obviously important to all humans today. But I actually had a bit of a struggle, because when I actually did mention that I was put in a mission, I'd often have people say to me, well, you wasn't actually stolen, you wasn't taken away, you was put in a mission. So I struggled with that from a young age, but I've learned to, you know, come at peace by saying to people, well, actually, I was put in a mission. And, you know, I guess other people, in particular my mother, she was brought up to be a slave, pretty much, unfortunate, but the fact is it was true. And, you know, Mum still struggles with some of those things today. She's absolutely lovely, and the way she's handled things throughout her life just still blows me away, and I take a lot out of it from her and other elders. But I think it means something to each person individually. So for myself, yes, I I have been stolen from my parents and, you know, taken a long, long way away from home, and obviously all the cultural connections were taken away. I often prefer to say that I'm, you know, placed in a mission, and yeah, I just can't take away from anybody else's experiences. So, yeah.
Yeah, so as I said earlier, we've put our staff really in a tough situation here today, and it's not easy to talk about some of your background. So I'm going to go to Lorraine now, who mentioned earlier she was born in Magumba. What does that mean to you, Lorraine?
Well, being born in Magumba really doesn't mean much because I don't remember any of it. My mother was placed there, but my grandparents, and I still don't, haven't worked that out, how they managed to take me from Magumba and take me back down to Katanning. So I'm the oldest of eight. My brothers and sisters were all brought up in Queensland. I was very fortunate. I got to be reared up with my grandparents. But yeah, and I'm still coming to terms with my identity and who I am as an Aboriginal person. I wasn't stolen. I wasn't forcibly removed. I was very lucky. I was brought up with my grandparents. But like I said, I'm one that is trying to find out who I am and what my cultural identity is. So far...
Thank you. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, when you're talking about healing and journey, we're going to talk a little bit about Yokai and what that all means. But it is a journey, finding our identity, and you've expressed it very well. Being born in Magumba, then finding family, being brought up by grandparents, and you're still on that journey. Laura, what do Stolen Generation people, what do Stolen Generations mean for you?
I guess acknowledging that it's all come from genocide. It's actually something that outlawed and gave no rights to any of our people. It's actually impacted every single one of us. I then realise that anyone who's had family that were stolen also is probably missing a lot of their own identity and links, because that stuff is impacted intergenerationally. But so is seeing our elders suffer. And I guess for me, it's just knowing that a lot of our elders who were brutalised in missions, who were actually used as slave labour, who still may not have some of those family connections but were really robbed of love and of belonging in their lives, is who we prioritise all of our work for. Because I think the isolation and the challenges they've endured are things that are unique, and, you know, I think for them they've had so many of their choices about their lives taken away from them that so much of the work we do is about trying to give that choice and that importance and that dignity back to those mob.
Well, there you go. Different interpretations, and that's what we're all about. Yokai, healing our spirit, is exactly the work we do. Healing our spirit for those people that have gone through that trauma, that removal, those that have gone through it directly themselves as victims, and then how that's affected their descendants. So, as we've said earlier, 46% of the Aboriginal population in West Australia are victims or Stolen Generation peoples themselves, but also their descendants.
You're listening to the Mordech Mag podcast on RTRFM 92.1.
What we've been talking about, stolen children and stolen generations, and Brian Councillor Laura Elkin and Lorraine Woods have just been speaking about, I suppose, their definition of what stolen generation is. For me, it's anybody that's been removed, regardless of whether they were stolen or given up. Remember in that period, it was very hard to live, you know, our people couldn't hunt and gather. And, you know, a classic example of what I believe is stolen generation is Auntie Lorraine Cooper's story, which was expressed in Sugar Bag, when the family were on the run. They were on the run right through the goldfield, and the family, a little girl, Laurel, fair-skinned, and they had to decide whether to give her up or not. And there was even talk about putting her on an anthill, because they were quite disturbed and concerned about where the child might go if they were picked up by the protectors, because the documentary had the police running around and trying to find where this family was, trying to find where this girl was, and even they painted her with charcoal to make her darker. But in the end, they put her in a mission, and that was Mount Margaret Mission, and that's where she was. And we talked about May O'Brien recently, rest in peace, who passed away there, and Josie Boyle, who appears on our program and sings in language, she does a great version of, that's dementia coming in. She does a great version in Wongai with a number of songs and Bad Moon Rising is a great, she does a great, in fact, I should try and find it to play for the show. We did it last week. We can't play Josie Boyle every week. This is Mudditch Mag 92.1. Thank you for being on the show. And my guests, Brian, Laura and Lorraine, Yokai. Yokai healing our spirit. Laura, what does that mean to you?
It means having to do the work ourselves to stand up because the community hasn't stood up for us. So as we say, you can't have healing without truth and justice, but somehow we have actually had to try to get on with that ourselves. Yeah, it means standing up for everything that's been done as well as being proud of who we are despite all the shame we've been forced to carry. That's how I feel about it.
Yokai Healing Our Spirit is on our merchandise. It's been registered as our trademark. Yokai has been registered. Traditionally, it was a war cry. It was take up the challenge, enough is enough, unfinished business, and for us to, as Laura said, to do it for ourselves. So we've registered that. It was registered in October last year. Our legal team did a great job. It cost $21,000, and that's what it costs the lawyers. We're now seeking more legal advice on the term and how it's been mispresented. So you'll hear some more about that because it's part of my life. It's part of my work. Lorraine, what does healing our spirit mean for you?
Well, one is the importance of what yokai means, healing our spirit. It's about taking that ownership and that ownership being able to work, and like Laura said, recognise what's out there, work, you know, get people behind us to really push for this, for the stolen generation. Oh, look,
Okay, it's tough for you. Thanks, sis. Thank you for expressing yourself. I didn't think it was going to be easy, and I don't regret bringing you on the show. I don't regret you saying your piece here, because this is what it's all about. We've got to educate our community. Brian, what are your thoughts on yokai healing our spirit?
Well, initially, Laura's my partner, so I'd like to make that clear. she's absolutely lovely, but I'm...
Well, you're sitting here holding hands. I figured that much.
Yeah, we've cleaned our hands, so we're fine. I've looked at some of the work that you've done in the past, Jim, and in particular what I've learned from Laura as well. But just going out in the community and, you know, growing up being placed in a mission and through state care and just seeing what wasn't there. So in the last 42 years, there's been really no genuine support for our people. I'm not saying there isn't programs out there, because there are, but they're usually under-resourced and underfunded, lack of staff and having quality staff too that actually understand the issues and the trauma that have been created through these missions and these processes of Aboriginal people being removed from their families. Yokai means to me, obviously, you know, it's a lot to do with the healing side of it, but it's opportunity. It gives me hope. And I think that's one of the biggest things. We actually have somewhere where we as Aboriginal people, Islander people can go and at least have our voices being listened to be heard, and to have an opportunity to actually become, you know, have our say in, you know, maybe the delivery service that we want, that we actually expect from not just the government, but also the wider community. It's one of the reasons why I actually wanted to get involved and come along and work with yokai. Really wonderful work that's being done. It's not easy. Once again, resources and funding again, but I think the group of people that are here, the core group that is with the yokai and, you know, WASGAC and also Bringing Them Home Committee, they're genuine people and their hearts, are worn on their sleeves. So I really want to be a part of that. And if I can, you know, be a part of a process where we develop healing programs and other opportunities for services to work with Aboriginal people and Islander people in a more effective way, I want to be a part of that, because I want to ensure that our communities not only looked after, but their voices are being heard, so that finally, for once in their life, people are going to be able to actually say, this is what I want, this is what we need. Finally, someone's listening to us, and to be a part of the process of actually delivering that in a culturally appropriate way.
Wow. And to think that I'm the boss of these three. I'm the managing director of the West Australian Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation. These three staff work with me, and I suppose I should stay on air here right now categorically. I'm very proud of these three and what they bring to the workplace, and I'm looking forward to the work they undertake in the next little while. Very challenging, we always said that, and we've had a meeting this morning and we'll meet again this afternoon. Quite a little bonding session for us, isn't it?
Team building.
Isn't it bonding?
Team building.
I'm feeling just so inspired by you three.
You're listening to the Mordich Mag podcast on RTRFM 92.1.
Because it's been a fairly sensitive, stressful hour. I'm sort of guessing for my guests here, Brian Counsellor, Laura Elkin and Lorraine Woods. And as of now, we won't be having any more guests on the show. So I've earlier said that they would be running the show from here on, but we don't know at this point. It's going to be a challenge for them, as it is a challenge to run a show every week and find guests. But as of next week, we'll only have a phone interview. So it's timely that you're here, Lorraine, and Laura and Brian, to have your say on a marvellous radio station that helped us win an award last year for our best news and current affair, and even beating NITV for The Point. So we're quite proud of the fact that we were able to beat NITV. We were proud of the fact that we had RTR-FM working with us for 4 hours at the Optus Stadium. Proud of the fact that we interviewed Nerelda Jacobs to make the best news story. So we won the best news and current affair with our 4 hours of Optus Stadium, and best news and current affair for our interview with Nerelda Jacobs. We beat NITV. I mean, what more can you say? We're multi-award winners at RTR-FM. So I've got nothing but good things to say about the people at RTR-FM and 1,000 listeners, 100,000 listeners every year, every week apparently. So we're heard on Noongar Radio as well. So it's good to have our guests here on Moorits Mag. And we should say goodbye, because we're going to go out with one of our legendary icons, that is Archie Roach. Sadly, he cancelled his concert coming to Western Australia, and lots of concerts have been cancelled, lots of meetings have been cancelled, and that sort of includes our work. We aren't able to get groups of people together because of the wretched virus that's with us. So we've got some challenges ahead. So starting from you, Brian, would you like to say goodbye to our audience and anything else you've missed on the show today?
Yeah, no, look, thank you. I'm obviously starting today, so I'm really looking forward to the future with Yoko. Obviously working with Lorraine and Laura. Jim, I've known you for a while, so it's really good to actually be in the same environment working with you. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, what we can offer our members in the wider community. So, yeah, like Lorraine spoke about before, just obviously want the community to make sure that they're keeping safe, you know, so doing all the right things that the health department and, you know, the federal government is actually starting to promote around the community. I think, you know, you can only be so resilient, but basically just go out there and, you know, be very mindful and aware of what you're doing in the community, and just try and limit these viruses as much as possible. So all the hand-washing stuff and, you know, even things like eyes, you know, be careful of, you know, how absorbent the eye can be. So there's a lot of information out there, but just make sure that you're, you know, trying to clear up what is actually out there and, you know, decipher between the myths and actually the reality. So, yeah, and if you ever...
Thanks, Brian. Yeah. You've probably taken up Laura's time now. But Laura, could you like to say goodbye to anything you've missed before the show ends?
Yeah, just to say thank you. I can remind any of our survivors we're here. If people are scared and having a hard time, pick up the phone, and to thank everyone else for your support for the show and all of the other work that Yokai do.
Good, and in the future we'll be recording your phone numbers so people can contact you. Lorraine, how's your thoughts for today, and any final words you'd like to say on Moorits Mag?
Well, I'd just like to say thank you for giving me the opportunity of being employed with Yokai, and just to say that the word yokai is there as something that's very serious, that it's there for our survivors of the stolen generation. It's there because they chose this. They chose this to fight the fight. And we're not a joke. Mm. We don't want to be shown as the word yokai as a joke. We are serious. So any of you survivors out there, support us to support you, because we're only as good as what you want us to be.
Oh, strong words from Lorraine Woods there, a new employee at the West Australian Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation. It was great to have you on the show today, Lorraine, Laura Elkin and Brian Council.
You're listening to the Moorits Mag podcast on RTRFM 92.1.